Welcome to the utterly stripped down, raw, purely basic version of Mrs. Impossible, episode number 5, where I'm not using any of the professional recording tools, where I won't be taking out my breaths. That's right, the other episodes I took out the breath, because that's supposed to be what professional sounding podcasts sound like. And the other episodes, I use these beautifully produced audio clips, but this one won't have it. This is all stripped down. I'm talking to you through my headphones, my normal iPhone headphones. I'm not talking to you through my beautiful, professional, gorgeous microphone that's in the other room. That's right. This Mrs. Impossible episode is coming to you raw. And at the beginning of every other episode so far, I've listed to you the different episode segments that I'm going to be going through in the episode. But today I'm not going to, because today it's going to be raw, unfiltered, and unplanned completely. So welcome. Let's get started. Well, here's a fun fact to let you guys in on. Did you know that this year I got through 3 rounds of getting through the whole process to get on Married at First Sight in Australia? That's right, I did. And it was one of the most fascinating experiences. But one of the things that I got out of it was a serious reflection, one of the most serious reflections and analysis of the men that I've dated and what I have felt most attracted to in terms of looks and personality. And so I collected photos that I had and looked at my list, and I realized that there are some consistencies. And so it helped me really focus and narrow down what I'm looking for. One of the other things that being on the Married at First Sight, or being involved in the rounds of interviews for Married at First Sight, was that I realized that it became a very real possibility that I could have a camera on me 24/7 or near it, at least when I wake up or until when I go to sleep. I heard that the camera can be on you 12 hours a day on these reality TV shows and reality dating shows. So it hit me that, oh my goodness, there could very well be, if I make it to the last round, which I didn't, but if I make it to the last round, I need to prepare myself to have a camera looking at me. And so what it did, the second great thing that that whole process did, was kind of put a mirror, if it put a mirror to my own life and made me think throughout the day, if a camera was following me right now, would I be happy with what the world is looking at and hearing? Oof, it was so deep. It was such an amazing feeling to think and kind of sit on my bed and look in the mirror and imagine to my side a camera there with me. And a consequence of that was an obvious one. I better make sure I look good in my underwear. I better make sure that on a very surface level, at least, that when that camera's on me, waking up in the morning as these dating shows tend to do, they put the camera on you right when you wake up. I better be fit. So I started. Well, I have been more and more committed to working out on a regular basis throughout throughout the past 2 years, more than 2 years, it'll be 3 years in January, that I have been training myself to make weightlifting a habit. But I have never done a full commitment to 6 days a week of doing that until this possibility became a very real possibility that a camera would be on my face 12 hours a day. So I realized, okay, it's time to get serious about this. And I took the kettlebells that I had, and every morning, for roughly a half an hour, I would do a heavy kettlebell routine. I had a 24 kilogram kettlebell, which is in pounds, what is that, like double, 48 pounds, something like that roughly, forgive me if I'm wrong. And every morning I lifted and did movements that would, you know, keep me fit. And it's amazing how that very real and growing possibility of a camera on me was the actual trigger to get me that serious. I did it. For 11 weeks straight, I did 5 to 6 mornings a week of a kettlebell routine. Except for when I was sick, I did get a cold-like symptom and didn't want it to be COVID. And if it was, I thought I better rest. So I rested at some point during those weeks. But I did it. And the reason why I say 11 weeks is because then the gyms eventually opened up where I live, and I was able to go back to the gym and lift using, you know, more advanced equipment and a real barbell instead of just kettlebells. So I went back to the gym after that, but wow, did that married at first sight possibility, how that changed me was amazing. Since then, I have been doing 4 to 6 times a week at the gym. Because that idea of having a camera, I love the idea of a camera. I just love what it did to me and what it did for me in terms of taking better care of myself and knowing what I want. I can't imagine, I don't know if I would have had a panic attack at the altar if I was accepted into the Married at First Sight. I don't know what other good could have come from it, or if a mental breakdown could have come from actually being on the show. I don't know, but I do know that just the preparation and the mental preparation for having a camera on you with multitudes of people seeing your life, that in itself did wonders for me. Wonders. Are you wondering at all what were the patterns that I discovered when I analyzed the guys that I've dated? Because I said that, you know, being through this whole Married at First Sight, being through the process and the rounds of interviews made me realize, you know, what I want. And, but I didn't tell you what it was. So I will. So I looked at all the photos and I realized they were all built. They were all muscular. They all have like a rounded, significant shoulders. They didn't have to be massive at all, but significant, not bony or scrawny. And that's a physical trait. Another physical trait was the height. Yep, it's the height. And in terms of personality, none. I can't even think of any exceptions to this rule at the moment. But of all the guys that I was most attracted to and actually dated, they just did not smile much at all. It was a little gift when they smiled, but they were mostly serious. just their faces, of course, joking around, we would still be happy at times, but these guys were just not the typical, like, happy, clappy kind of person who's always cheery at a high energy level. And yeah, so I'm not really attracted to that according to the patterns I looked at in the past. And I went through the past 2 years of all of the men that I have gone on first dates with, just for a coffee or a drink, a quick coffee or drink. And out of those, the ones who have taken the most attention of mine, and the ones who I felt most attracted to, both physically and in terms of personality. And of course, you know, that's significant. If a person's smiling hard a lot and very up, you know, high energy, cheery, that's a personality type. That's something about the character. It's not a good or bad thing. It could be a sign of them being nervous. And for me, that's usually what I see it being. I think behind a lot of the very happy looking people is actually a very equally nervous energy. Not all the time, for sure, but a lot of the time. And I think that's why I feel more comfortable and attracted to someone who kind of keeps it cool on their face, kind of like a military face. That's what I call it, because it means that they're at attention and they're listening. Their face is not dramatic. It's not negative. It's just an at attention, like, you know, attention, you know, what soldiers do, what soldiers, when soldiers have to stand at attention, that kind of face, I'm attracted to it. That kind of personality that is ready to listen. Oh, do you guys hear that? That motorbike, as they call it here in Australia, on the road. Maybe you didn't hear it. I don't know if this little cheap microphone will pick it up. So I saw those patterns anyway. Just some key physical traits and key personality or character inclinations. I feel like there should be more, but those were really significant ones. I think another significant one, you're right, there was, is that they weren't highly extroverted. They were not highly extroverted and not very social. Not introverts completely, and not hermits, but just not the person who walks into a room and demands attention and is the one telling jokes to everyone around them. That is not the guy that I feel comfortable and comfortable with or attracted to, according to my patterns. So these are things that these are some of the things that I've observed, because I knew that these matchmakers on Married at First Sight would be saying, well, what do you like? And they would sit me down and do a little analysis, and I'd have to go back through my history and tell them what I've been attracted to. You know, in the process itself, there's a huge questionnaire where you ask all the same questions. Sorry. See, I can't edit that out now. I would normally edit that out, but this is the raw, uncut, completely uncut version of Mrs. Impossible. So you're getting all my mistakes. And what I was going to say, I just even forgot what I was going to say. Okay, I had to play that little clip back. I had to stop recording and go back and play just so I remembered what I was saying. I was saying that in the process of each round, they basically asked me the same questions, so many of the same questions over and over. And so that also had me deeply affirming who I was and what I wanted. I had never felt so sure and affirmed about the things that I'm looking for as when I went through this process, because each time the question was asked, whether it was through the written form or through the phone call that I had with the producer or through the video chats with the producer, I found myself saying, "Wow, Cindy, you're saying the same thing that you've written, and you said the same thing that you said in the last conversation with her." And I thought, yeah, I'm pretty consistent. It was pretty great to have that knowing of myself and what I want. And, I should, I'd love to pull up that little video maybe. And I did a little video of of the first round, which was full of questions. It was a questionnaire. I'm going to see if I could find that and then maybe comment on it with you here. Hold on. I'll be right back. I'm going to pause the recording so I can find it. I found it. I found the video where I recorded my entry, all of the written answer entry to my Married at First Sight application. First question was, what are some of the challenges you have faced on your search for true love? And I talked about how. Wait, what did I talk about? Yeah, that I've met so many men on first dates from these apps, but the ones that I felt the most strongly about, and they felt strongly with me, the ones where we actually reciprocated, most of the time, they wanted biological children and planned to, wanted someone who they could date, who they could see themselves in the future having children with, and that's just not for me. I want all of you wonderful people who want children, who are listening to this message, to have them. For me, I have a long list of reasons, including just plain physical, medical ones, to just plain life management ones, to it's just not my calling reasons. So please produce many wonderful children if you're listening. But for me, it's not for me, for a lot of reasons. And so I believe that's why I'm single, because I have met so many amazing guys, and a lot of them have wanted someone who can eventually give them children. The ones that I've liked the most and that have liked me. Not all of them, that isn't the case with all of the ones that I really liked, but with a lot of them, the ones that I felt so disappointed because that was the only reason that we could not continue dating, because we both didn't want to waste time dating someone that we knew, where we knew it was a dead end. So, all right. And so let's see, the next question on here that I can talk to you guys about was, help us understand why you're looking for love. I said, oysters and wine are great, but nothing compares to an attractive man who looks at you with genuine affection and you return that same look. You're right, Cindy. Yes, you are. I didn't ask you about your family background and your current living situation and how would you describe yourself? I don't know what you guys are listening to. Or which one of these that you guys would want me to tell you about. I don't think I'll go into all of the answers of all these questions. But let's see what other questions, if there's something more interesting. What would your family say are your best and worst character traits? No thanks. I'll go on to the next. I did answer all of these, but there are just so many questions with this. Oh yeah, my hobbies and interests. And it says, list three things about yourself that are interesting or unexpected. And I said, one, I can twerk. Two, I spent 1 year studying philosophy and English at the University of Oxford in England, and I graduated uni with highest honors. And number three, it seems like those two facts might contradict each other because it takes a lot of skill to twerk, and it's usually the dancer creative type, not the strong academic type, right? But that does exist quite often, actually. Creative and academic. What else? It says, take me through a typical Saturday night, they asked me. So I said, well, at the time that I filled this out, I said, sorry to bore you, but it would probably be me sitting on the couch swiping through a dating app until 8:30 p.m., then showering and in bed by 9:30 p.m., just so I can wake up and work out. Yep. And then it asked, what, do you have any children? If you do have them, how old are they? Okay, none of that was relevant to me. It asked for all of my social media accounts. Okay, let's see. Stop video so I can reflect. Okay. That's what kind of man I'm looking for. By the way, if I was editing this, I would have taken out my little tongue suck sound, that I just did. Okay, so I said, oh no, my video is moving a little too quickly. I'm trying to tell you guys. Okay, it said, please advise. Please advise the type of person you are seeking to be matched with. Oh, this question was about opposite sex, same sex, or transgender, intersex. Oh, well, I said, opposite sex. Okay, that was obvious. Simple. Okay. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone of the same sex or no? I said no. And then it asks, what are some of your challenges? Oh, I already told you guys that. Oh, I think I repeated myself. I did. I repeated myself on the form. Or maybe the form repeated itself. Or maybe my video is out of sync and I'm looking at the wrong part of the video while I'm talking to you. What qualities do you dislike in other people? It asks. So I said, anyone who is bitter, angry, or condescending towards others will make me feel very uncomfortable. These traits are turnoffs no matter what kind of relationship it is, friends, romantic, or any other kind of relationship. Now, my video of my answers is moving a little more slowly. Oh, here we go. Hold on. Slow down. Okay, so it asks more about what I'm looking for, and I'm going to tell you guys something. I say it here in the forum in one of their answers. I say that I don't want to date someone who has cheated on a partner in the past. It's not because I think that that person is a bad person, but I do think that a person who has a tendency to cheat has more of a kind of polyamorous sexuality where one person does not completely satisfy them and they have a inclination, whether good or bad or natural or unnatural, whatever that is, I don't judge, but they have it to some degree. If they have easily cheated in the past, then it is highly likely that they have that tendency and it could happen again in the future. So I find life already incredibly challenging in time at times, and I don't want drama in a relationship or having to worry about that at all. I want to feel safe with someone. Maybe there are other girls who can overlook that possibility of a guy possibly cheating again, who has cheated before. But I haven't gotten there yet. So that was an answer that I gave. I also mentioned earlier in this podcast about the height thing, and really between 6 foot and 6 foot two is the beautiful range, especially when they have some kind of weightlifting history. Oh, it's just beautiful. All right. What else does it say in this? It says, what kind of partner are you in a relationship? Please be honest and state both positive and negative traits. I did that tongue suck thing again, guys. That. There you go. It's not being cut out. All right, so it says here, what did I reply? Let's see if my video stopped and showed me everything that I wrote. Yes, it did. It did. It did. Yes. So in that response, let's see if I can slow it down. Yes. In that response, I said, oh no. I'm trying to slow down the video. And I'm so confused right now. Hold on. Okay, what kind of partner are you in a relationship? I said how my first boyfriend in high school gave me the book called The Giving Tree, because he said that book was all about me. He said I'm just like the giving tree in the book. And the tree in that book always gives away its leaves and branches to the boy, and all of its wood, and until the boy takes from the tree, until the tree at the end of the boy's life, he becomes a man and then an old man, until the tree is just left as a little stump and has nothing more to give. And so I kind of see myself as that in a relationship way back when I was in high school and to this moment, as I am a giver and I will give until I've given everything and have nothing more to give, which I'm not too thrilled about that. I'd like to have a little bit more self-care. And I have seen some changes in me since then, but for the most part, yep, that's still essentially me. I love to give everything that I can to someone to a man in a sexual relationship, aka romantic, aka what else do you call it? I hate the word romantic. Can we come up with something else? Sexual is good. That word should be not looked down on as something base or raw. It's just should be looked at as something beautiful. Although I don't like should. I don't like shoulding on anyone or anything. Okay. What else did the married at first sight form ask me? A lot of these questions they repeated on the phone and in our video chat. Okay, do you have any deal breakers when it comes to a partner? Like I said before, it asks, okay, what am I doing? I said genuine deal breakers are a guy who has cheated, like I said. And then number two, I said a guy who has no muscle and is scrawny. And then a guy who I feel safe with and can be cuddled in his arms. So height. I'm talking about height there. Would I be open to someone who has children? I said, yes, I would. Yes, I would. That's different than me having to give birth to biological children. It's a whole different category. And I feel like I have the heart for that if the guy has children ready. Have you ever been in love? I said, yes, I have, but not very often. And I won't get into the longer answer that I gave just yet. Okay, here we go. You know, this is a very long list of questions, and I'm getting sleepy as I'm talking to you guys, so I think I'm going to start wrapping up this episode. I've taken you through a lot of my Married at First Sight experience and the big deal that it was for me and how it got me moving and taking care of myself better when it comes to what I want. And my physical fitness, which directly correlates with mental fitness. So, there you go, guys. It's been a wonderful time sharing all of this with you. You know what I'll do for the end of this? There is an ability on the platform where I'm recording this podcast for people to come and leave me messages. And one of my listeners left me an adorable message. She's 10 years old, and her name is, I might mispronounce it, but Kwayani. Kwayani, Kwayani. And she sang me a little song about impossible. And it's a pop song that she was just, doing her own little quick little cover of. So, as a little goodbye outro, I'm gonna let her sing to you her little song, her little cover song.